Everyone, and welcome to This Week in Football from the makers of Low Limit Football on the Beyond the Pitch and FNX Media Networks. I am your host, Joe Uccello, and tonight we break down Group A in our 2019 Gold Cup preview series. Joining me, as always, my co-host, Mr. Roberto Rojas, and special guest tonight, Mr. John Arnold from Gold.com. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining me. First off, I want to start off by introducing the teams in Group A. Mexico ranked 18th in the world, the top CONCACAF team in this competition. Canada ranked 78th. Cuba ranked 174th. And Martinique not even ranked as of yet. John, I'd like your impression of this group overall, Group A, and how it sets up.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Yeah, obviously, it's, you know, you recite those numbers and it's not impressive. I get that. But it is, you know, people might kind of look at this group and say, oh, well, Mexico is going to win easily. Fair enough. And I think that's probably, as we're going to get into the discussion, what is going to happen most likely. But that being said, since the Gold Cup has gone to 14 groups, Mexico's gotten 9 points from their group just once. So there's room here for a stumble. And I think it's worth noting that while this isn't exactly a top group necessarily when you look at the four teams, this is the only group in the whole tournament that has all four teams in League A of the upcoming Nations League. All these nations did pretty well in qualifying. Mexico obviously automatically qualified. They didn't have to play those qualifiers. But everyone else did quite well during the qualifications. So while it's not heavyweights necessarily, I don't think any of these teams are scrubs either. So we'll have to see how it goes. I think there's a clear favorite in the group, but after that it could be pretty interesting.
So just looking into that group and kind of the main storylines, we do want to focus here on Mexico. But, you know, it's been quite an interesting run ever since Tata Martino came in from Atlanta United to take charge of the Mexican team, you know, beating all South American sides, Chile, Paraguay, Venezuela, and Ecuador, respectively, you know, off to a fine start. And, you know, I just want to ask here and focus on the group as a whole, but mainly on Tata Martino first. What has been the perception now in Mexico of Tata Martino ever since coming in to replace Juan Carlos Osorio?
Yeah, well, Mexican fans, as you guys know, always have sort of a fraught relationship with the coach, but so far there's been pretty much very little to criticize about Tata Martino. I think he's shown a very clear idea of how he wants his team to play, an idea that his team has understood really from minute one in that game against Chile. You see the 4-3-3 with the fullbacks getting forward, pushing up as much as possible. You see the interplay, the quick passes, short passes between midfielders that often lead to opportunities. And really, I think it's been a quite positive start for Mexico. I think that people are really enjoying watching the football that Tata Martino has the team playing. I think Tata Martino is enjoying it too. You know, I was there last night in a game against Ecuador or Sunday night. And he said, you know, we've given up too many goals, which is true. They've conceded in every single game, but they've also scored multiple goals in every single game as well. So he said that, you know, there's still things to work on. We've conceded. And also the big question, and I think the one mistake Martino has made, is the fact that he only named a 29-man provisional roster for this tournament. You can put 40 names on there. And he said, no, I'm only going to name 29. Now with injuries, it's possible that he might not have 23 healthy 20, I guess, healthy field players from his provisional roster. So a bit of a mistake there, and one that I don't think there's too much of an excuse for, because you knew you could put 40 guys on there and you chose not to. So that's the one bobble, the one area of criticism that Martino has come in for. But even then, as the start that you mentioned, you know, there's been pretty much little to criticize other than, hey, they're giving up a lot of goals.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you mentioned about those teams, about the 40-man team, because you look at how some of these players that are indeed missing, you know, like Chucky Lozano due to injury, Chicharito, Tecatito Corona, among other players. You know, you look at Hector Herrera, Giovanni Dos Santos, many other players who are missing out. Marco Fabian, who was on that provisional side, also got cut. So you look at the team moving forward, it really has that kind of experience mixed with youth. And, you know, I think personally, having seen and what Tata Martino has done for Argentina, for Paraguay, that he likes to experiment and to use the youth as well as experience. I think that's always been his MO in a sense of as a manager, especially on a national team manager perspective. So it's kind of interesting that you mentioned that, you know, he did call up so little players where he could have called up much, much more. How big of an impact has that given him, perhaps from a reception standpoint in Mexico? And, you know, would that hinder a bit of the chances? As we know, you know, Mexico come in as perhaps the top favorite in the Gold Cup. But is that setback a little bit of a disadvantage for Mexico so far? Or is that just something that could be fixed in the way that they could indeed work forward moving forward?
Well, I'm not sure that it's going to bite them necessarily. I mean, I think they should still be considered the favorite by far. And I think that, you know, that it's a group that has the talent to win the Gold Cup. But the fact is that this is a team that you know, is missing really important players, whether it's injury, Irving Lozano, Miguel Layún, Edson Álvarez potentially, although it seems like he might be fit. Héctor Moreno potentially, it seems like he won't be fit. It's also, you know, it's a team that's missing a lot of players that aren't injured. Carlos Vela decided, no, thank you. Jesus Corona and Tata Martino are in some sort of dispute. Chicharito for the birth of his child. Hector Herrera for getting a transfer done, basically, and saying he wanted some rest. So with those players, I think there's no doubt that Mexico would be, A, a more experienced team, as you're mentioning, but B, just also a better team and by far the best team in CONCACAF. I mean, there's no question that those players were there. Mexico would be the absolute favorite. I think they're still the favorite, but there are questions because you have an attack that is going to play probably Rodolfo Pizarro on one wing and Roberto Alvarado on another. Well, both of those players are fine wingers, but they're not necessarily out-and-out wingers at the club level. Alvarado has played as a forward, as an interior midfielder as well. Pizarro is perhaps better when he's a 10 or just given more of a free role in the attack. With Monterrey. So those are the questions that I think are going to be the big ones for Mexico to answer. So far, they've been answered sort of in the affirmative as far as, yes, we can get this done. We can create opportunities. We can score goals, even with players playing in different positions. But, you know, it is a team where an injury, you don't want it to happen at all, but an injury could really change the perspective for Mexico, because if one of those attackers goes down, specifically Raul Jimenez, the central forward, the only central forward Tata Martino seems comfortable with. He has Alexis Vega on the roster, the 21-year-old Chivas player, but he hasn't started him in any of the friendlies yet. You know, if he goes down, what happens? What do you do? I mean, there's really no answer. I guess you have to start Vega. So it's the best team, but it's a thin team, I guess, is the best way to say it. And could those absences come back to haunt Mexico? They absolutely could, but I think this is a team that still has enough depth in the pool, not on this specific team, but in the pool to overcome those absences.
So just looking into that, as you said, you mentioned that this Mexican side has only ever picked up 9 points in all in the group stage only once. You look at some of the teams that are in this group, you would think that they could not screw up and have that not happen to them. But, you know, you look at some of the opponents there, you know, Cuba have usually given some teams a bit of a fight in the CONCACAF Gold Cup. You know, Canada with their type of players coming up, with Alfonso Davies, Carl Aaron, among other players. You know, do you see this happening again for Mexico, stumbling in one of these games, or do you feel that it's still three games and all wins in those games?
No, like I said, I mean, in the past they haven't really been able to win all three games. I think it would be a big achievement. Although, you know, obviously if you win all three games and lose in the quarterfinals or semifinals, then who cares, right? But I think it'd be a decent achievement if they're able to get all three games, get 3 points from all three games. The one that stands out to me is Canada. I think that Canada in Denver, you know, potentially at altitude, a Canadian team that has just a lot of bright rising stars, maybe strong. Not in the case of Alfonso Davies. I think he's probably a rising star. You look at the attack that they have, Lucas Cavallini, who had a really nice season with Puebla and Liga MX, and looks like he's going to be off to Atlas. Jonathan David had a great season in Belgium. Jonathan Osorio from Toronto FC is a nice piece. You know, I think they're a team that could challenge. Now, the question for Canada is at the back, right? The defense is very thin. I think they have a really good central midfield with Atiba Hutchinson, Mark Anthony Kay. But behind them, I think Mexico should be able to take advantage. Pizarro, Jimenez, Alvarado, even some of the interior midfielders, and Andres Guardado or Jonathan Dos Santos getting forward, I think could cause Canada a lot of trouble. But if there is a group game that I think Mexico would stumble in, it's that one. I could definitely see that game being a draw and Mexico dropping some points there and maybe having a little bit of excitement going into the last day, depending on how the rest of the group breaks down. But I think this is a group that Mexico should hold themselves to the standard, at least, of winning all three games, even if that hasn't necessarily happened in the past.
Certainly. I want to jump in here now because I want to look at the players. I mean, obviously, we've gone through the Mexican players here a little bit. We know Chucky Lozano, no Tecatito Corona, Carlos Vela's not there. Miguel Ayun with what was apparently a cancerous tumor that was removed is going to eliminate him from this tournament. How much of the goal-scoring weight is going to be on Raul Jimenez, especially given the great season he had at Wolves this year? And how much can the other supporting cast, how much of that weight can they take off of his shoulders?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as far as central forward options, he's the only one. He was the only player to start both friendlies against Venezuela and Ecuador. And I think that just shows the fact that Tata Martino, I think rightly, doesn't think Alexis Vega is ready to be an international yet. I don't think he's at that level. 21, he scored 4 goals with Chivas. I think he has 2 caps, maybe 3. So where does the help come from? I mean, the midfielders have scored in the friendlies. I think Rodolfo Pizarro is a really, really talented attacking player. Look, if he's not playing in Mexico, if he's an American player, or a Canadian player, or even a Panamanian player, I think he might be in Europe. The fact is that, you know, he moves from Chivas to Monterrey on a big deal, and then it's, you know, a pretty high price. But I think European teams have still kind of sounded out and kind of seen what it might take to get him across the pond. So he's certainly a player who can make things happen. For me, the question is just how comfortable is he playing as sort of that winger, but maybe tucking in and trying to make things happen with Raul. How is the chemistry going? Because until that game against Venezuela, that front three of Jimenez, Alvarado, and Pizarro had never played together. So I think there could be more goals coming from other places. I think that all three of those players are certainly capable of putting the ball in the back of the net. So too are even the fullbacks. We've seen Jesus Gallardo score. We've seen the other fullback, the right back, Luis Chaca Rodriguez, score against Ecuador. So there's certainly players who can put the ball in the back of the net for Mexico, even if it isn't Raul Jimenez getting the ball across the line. But, you know, as you saw with Wolves, one of the things that he's good at is combining with a player making a run from the midfield, sort of being that player who can play with his back to goal and then hit somebody that's running through the channel. So whether that's Pizarro coming in from the wing, or Dos Santos or Guardado coming up from the interior midfielder spot, you know, those are players that he wants to have good chemistry with, and I think that's going to be sort of what Mexico needs to do in the group games, is get a good chemistry going, because while Jimenez is certainly the big name, 12 goals with Wolves in the Premier League, 4 goals, I think, in the Cup, he's also a player who I think plays really well when everyone understands what he's trying to do and when he understands what the other players are trying to do, and he really doesn't have much time with these guys that he's playing with, so that'll be key if Mexico is going to keep finding the back of the net like they have. But as we mentioned, so far, 4 games in the Tata Martino era, 4 games in which they've scored multiple goals.
3 goals or better, at least, I think, in every match. Looking at the Canadian side, I wanted to talk about Kyle Larin for a minute. Obviously, moving over to Beşiktaş from Orlando City a couple of seasons ago, how has his progression come along? And, you know, as the top goal scorer right now on this Canadian national team, is he capable of carrying the load for them as well?
If I don't know what John Herdman is going to do, but if I'm John Herdman, I depending on how everyone looks in training, I mean, I'm looking at Lucas Cavallini or Jonathan David. I think they both were quality when called upon in Nations League. I think they've both been in much better form than in the league than Kyle Larin. So, you know, I don't think Kyle Larin is going to shoulder the load, but I don't think he necessarily needs to. I mean, you've got Cavallini, David, you've got Junior Hoylett on the team, and obviously Alfonso Davies. So, I mean, those are all guys who can make things happen. I think the attack is good. They sort of, in Nations League, had the weird task of needing to score as many goals as possible because of the way that the format broke down and just the fact that they essentially had to finish, you know, top 6, I think it was, to qualify for League A and make the Gold Cup, both of which were in their goals. So, Larin, I don't know. I mean, I don't know that he's going to be the guy for Canada, but I don't know that he needs to be the guy. I don't think this is going to be a Gold Cup like the one they had 2 tournaments ago where they, I believe, were not able to score in group play, or maybe they scored a single goal. I just remember they had a lot of attacking trouble in that 2015 edition. Sorry, they all sort of blend together at some point, boys. But, you know, I think they had some issues in the past, and Larin was a part of that. I remember he missed one in that 2015 tournament in Costa Rica. He had, like, an open net. It was like, come on, man, you got to put that in. He's obviously a better player than some of those moments showed, and he's had 4 years to improve, evolve, and get better. But I think luckily for Canada, it's not all on him anymore. Maybe he's a nice piece, a nice extra, a nice bonus, but I think the onus is on other players to get the ball in the back of the net for Canada.
So just going into the group predictions real quick, I think many people would like to say that it is as straightforward as many people would say, that Mexico and Canada will qualify out of the group, perhaps in that order. And the battle, of course, would be to see who finishes between third and fourth, between Cuba and Martinique. Joe, I'll go to you first in this one. I mean, pretty straightforward. I personally think it will be Mexico, Canada qualifying. How do you see it?
Yeah, I see it the exact same way. Mexico 1, Canada 2. I think Cuba, just based on experience, will probably pip Martinique in their matchup. But, you know, and it'll finish in that way, 1, 2, 3, 4. I don't see either of these three teams challenging Mexico for that top spot. And maybe Cuba can pull an upset and kind of shake the apple cart with Canada. But I think this Canadian side is a little too talented. And they've really kind of grown over the last few years that I don't see them I don't see Cuba being able to upset the apple cart in this one. I do think it's a straightforward finish for me. Mexico, Canada, Cuba, Martinique in that order.
Absolutely. John, I mean, do you see a surprise in this group or do you see it as straightforward as we've both mentioned here?
I definitely would put Martinique above Cuba. I think that when you look at their Nations League results, you saw a really solid back line, Jordi Delem, Jean-Sylvain Varin. I don't know the punches there for Martinique, but if, you know, they put two banks of four and play a 4-4-2 or even, you know, a 4-5-1 or something similar, I mean, I think their defense could cause a lot of issues for teams. I don't think they're going to be able to score necessarily, but we've seen teams bunker and counter in the past and frustrate Mexico even. Frustrate teams like Canada, maybe the kind of mid-tier of CONCACAF. You look at, you know, how they played. I don't think that any team that made League A in the Nations League had a worse goal difference. I think it was +8. So, I mean, that tells you about what you had to do to have a good goal difference in the League of Nations League qualification. But that being said, you know, they were winning their matches, really relying on defense. Kevin Parsemen is still up front as a forward for them. But for me, they're sort of the X factor. I don't think they're as bad of a team as it might be easy to say and kind of brush off. They do have a lot of domestic-based players who are probably not, certainly not up to the level of like a Liga MX player or certainly the Mexico players who are based abroad, and you could say the same in the group. I think Cuba's really going to struggle, though, so we're getting into semantics here. I'm taking Mexico first, Canada second, Martinique third, and Cuba. I don't like Cuba's chances at all. They just lost 1-0 to the Dominican Republic's U23 team. That was with their full squad finally joining up together, so I don't see it going very well for them, but yeah, I think it's between the two Caribbean teams for third and fourth, which don't advance to the next stage anyway.
And it's a little bit of a far cry from a few years ago. I remember a Cuban side, I want to say it was 2015, that made a decent run in this tournament. So, you know, looking back on them, I see a lack of experience. Looking at the players, Yasmani Lopez leads the team with 28 caps. Andy Baquero has 25 caps. But other than that, everybody's under 20 caps. I mean, is there a massive lack of experience? And how does Cuba advance that? Because that's obviously, I think, going to be part of the issue for them.
Well, look, I mean, we can talk about, you know, players and number of caps, et cetera, but the unfortunate reality in whatever political side of things you're on is that a lot of the players with experience or who would be there with experience decided to leave the team. If we're just going to talk about it from a sporting perspective, I mean, that's why they don't have more players with a lot of caps. And there are a lot of, you know, there were some experienced guys as well who they've lost. I think, you know, Sandy Sanchez is a good number one goalkeeper, young goalkeeper who's 25. And is one of, I think, 8 players who are now playing abroad. There was some excitement several years ago when I know that Michael Reyes, who's on the squad, just recovering from an injury, he went to Mexico. A couple other players went to Mexico, but for some reason or another, they had trouble with documents at first, and then they get in. They didn't get a good preseason. They couldn't hack it in the Ascenso, from what it seems like, at least. So, you know, they got 8 players playing abroad, but nobody in really top leagues. So until the political reality is that everyone who's Cuban is able to represent the national team, I don't really see any progress being made in this team, unfortunately. Like I said, you know, pretty worrying. Friendly result, 1-0 loss to a U23 team in the Dominican Republic. They played the Cayman Islands to a 0-0. I think they played 3 preparation matches and scored 1 goal. So I think it's going to be really difficult. Maybe Reyes gets healthy and gets a couple goals. Luis Paradela is playing Guatemala. I think he had 5 or 6 goals this year at Universidad San Carlos in the Guatemalan League. But, you know, again, we're talking about a different level from players, even like Canada, where Jonathan David is banging him in Belgium. You know, it's just a different standard, unfortunately. And I think that it's going to be difficult for Cuba or Martinique to really break through.
I agree. Looking forward now, looking at this group, I think we all agree that Mexico is more than capable of winning this tournament and certainly the favorite. Do you see any of the other teams in the other groups, for example, Honduras, Costa Rica, or the United States? Do you see any of them possibly challenging this Mexican side, especially based on the way they've been playing under Tata Martino?
No. Yeah, I mean, if you look at the friendly results, it just doesn't look like it's going to happen, right? I would love to say, and not even, you know, you guys know me. I try and be as neutral as possible. I am American, but I've been covering Mexico since 2015, the CONCACAF region since 2013, you know. I'd love to say, oh, no, one of these teams is going to jump up and challenge Tata Martino's team. But so far, they're just rolling through kind of mid-level CONMEBOL opposition. And the United States is getting trounced by those same level of teams. They're losing to Jamaica, getting thrashed by Venezuela in the first half. Honduras, okay, Brazil is obviously a much higher standard, but 7-0, that looks pretty rough. I think they're in a bit of a Fabian Coito is trying to get that team sort of renewed, and he's got a couple veterans and like a Manuel Figueroa, but a lot of young players in that squad too. So as far as actually beating this Mexico team, it's difficult to predict that. Anything can happen in a tournament setting, and they've got a lot of absences that maybe you could say make them a little more vulnerable than usual if an injury or two more happens, although they've already had what, 5 to 7. If another one happens, maybe you say they're more vulnerable, but it just looks like this is Mexico's tournament like so many Gold Cups in the past have been.
Yeah, John, you know, I have to agree with you. You know, watching this Mexican side play under Tata Martino, for me, for all the years I've watched Mexico, for me, this is the best I've ever seen this nation play, and they're scary good. And the fact that we've listed all these players that they're actually missing is even scarier for me. And I think that, like you said, this is Mexico's tournament to lose, let alone the group or anything like that. And it's going to take something heroic, especially given the form on the Honduras side, given the form on the United States side. It's going to take something heroic, really, to upset the apple cart and unseat Mexico from this particular tournament. So I couldn't agree with you more. Gentlemen, I do want to thank you both for joining me tonight and helping me break down Group A of the CONCACAF Gold Cup. So for John Arnold and for Roberto Rojas, I am Joe Uccello. Thanks for listening, and good night.